Hello, this is Beatrice Pavia with the Pantograph of Friday, September 25th, 2020. Let's go to page one, where the front page story is A Taste of Apple and Pork, Other Ways to Celebrate the Central Illinois Tradition. And it is accompanied by about five beautiful photos of the Apple and Pork Festival from years past. One shows people, a huge crowd of people sitting at tables and eating. Another picture shows two men with cauldrons of ham and beans just bubbling over on the museum grounds. One picture shows a man leaning against an oak tree while he retains a chair, showing old-time crafts. And the last picture shows two young girls who are dressed up in old-fashioned pioneer-type clothing, serving apple cider. And these photos range from, years past to just a few years ago. Clinton's Apple and Pork Festival, a beloved autumn tradition for many families, is among this year's events lost to the coronavirus pandemic. The festival was established in 1967 as a fundraiser for the C.H. Moore Homestead DeWitt County Museum. Over the years, it grew to support a number of other nonprofit organizations, and crowds were drawn to the festival grounds each year for ham and beans, gingerbread cookies, a sprawling flea market, and a diverse array of vendors and activities. Organizers decided to cancel this year's festival in July, but they're still offering a taste of tradition. The museum will be selling ham and beans at the museum grounds at 219 East Woodlawn from 3 to 7 p.m. Saturday while supplies last. A quart of ham and beans, two cornbread muffins, and a smoked ham sandwich will be $15, and sandwiches will also be $5 each. Drivers are asked to approach Woodlawn via Monroe Street and exit via Madison Street. Clinton radio stations WHOW WECZ also will air virtual coverage of the festival from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Saturday on 1520 a.m., 92.3 FM, and 95.9 FM in Clinton and at DeWittDailyNews.com. And in other front page news, the local COVID story is headlined, McLean County adds two deaths, 22 now lost to the virus. Tazewell County reports 24th fatality. This story is datelined Bloomington. Health officials continued to stress precautions to limit the spread of COVID-19 on Thursday as they reported two additional coronavirus-related deaths in McLean County. The patients were a woman in her 30s and a woman in her 60s, both with underlying health conditions. Officials did not identify the other health conditions or release any additional details about the women whose deaths brought the county total since the start of the pandemic to 22. Tazewell County also reported an additional death, a woman in her 70s. The county has reported 24 deaths since the start of the pandemic. McLean County Health Department Administrator Jessica McKnight stressed that people of any age with underlying conditions are an increased risk for complications. Those medical conditions, she said, include cancer, chronic kidney disease, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, or COPD, serious heart conditions, sickle cell disease, type 2 diabetes, and obesity, defined as having a body mass index of 30 or higher. People who have had organ transplants also are at higher risk. It is important that we all take this virus seriously and continue to do everything we can to keep each other safe, McKnight said. We cannot wait until we see a new surge of cases to take action to control the spread. It's important that we stay on track and do not become complacent. She noted that the county had made progress in decreasing the number of newly reported cases over the past 2 weeks, but urged people to continue to wash their hands, watch their distance from others, and wear face coverings. In McLean County, the county reported nine additional cases on Thursday, bringing its total since the start of the pandemic to 3,208 cases. Of the total, there are 216 people in home isolation, 10 are hospitalized, 2 in intensive care, and 2,960 people are considered recovered. The county's cumulative positivity rate, based on more than 68,700 tests conducted, is 4.7%. Its rolling 7-day positivity rate through Wednesday is 4.1%. There were 594 people tested Wednesday at the McLean County Fairgrounds community testing site operated by Roditis, according to the county's Emergency Management Agency. An Illinois State University reported Thursday that there were 6 positive results from a total of 236 on-campus tests the previous day. In the past 7 days, the university has had 26 positive results of 825 tests performed, a 7-day positivity rate of 3.2%. And while ISU COVID results are included in the McLean County totals, they are not necessarily reflected on the same day. The university's daily reports reflects information from Roditis Laboratories, which performs the on-campus testing, and the county numbers come from the Illinois Department of Public Health and include results from tests performed at multiple locations. Statewide, public health officials said hospitalizations had jumped sharply. While the numbers often fluctuate significantly on a daily basis, the 1,713 hospitalizations for the virus were the most since there were 1,852 on June 18th. The 400 intensive care beds in use by COVID-19 patients were the most since 401 were occupied on June 29th. The state reported another 2,257 confirmed cases of the virus on Thursday. Among 62,071 test results reported, making for a 1-day positivity rate of 3.6%. The rolling 7-day positivity rate for Illinois remained at 3.5% for the 6th straight day. Officials also announced another 30 COVID-19 related deaths, pushing confirmed virus-related casualties to 8,538. LaSalle County reported 15 additional cases, bringing its total since the start of the pandemic to 1,665. Of those, 1,090 are considered recovered. Tazewell County reported 22 more cases of COVID-19, bringing its total to 1,686. There are 459 people in home isolation, 12 hospitalized, and 1,191 who are considered recovered. Livingston County reported 16 new cases, bringing its total to 384 since March. Of those, 37 are still considered active. DeWitt County reported having 7 new cases since Monday. The county has 23 active cases, including 3 hospitalizations, officials said. And the last front page story is about Election 2020. It's headlined, "Crowd Turns Out at Arena to Vote Early." It's Dateline Bloomington. Let the voting begin. Thursday was the first day of early voting in Illinois, and crowds turned out to the Grossinger Motors Arena to cast a ballot ahead of the November 3rd election. At times, the line was 25 people deep, but participants said waits were minimal. It's a process that looks different amid COVID-19 compared to other years. Voters have to wear masks and stand 6 feet apart at the 101 South Madison Street Arena. Still, it did not dampen the civic duty of voters like Kristen Givens of Bloomington. "People died for my right to vote," she said. "This is the most important election of our lifetimes." Vote totals as of Thursday evening were 250 Normal and McLean County residents and 266 Bloomington residents, officials said. Things are going pretty smoothly so far, and everyone has been very patient, said County Clerk Kathy Michael. On Thursday, an election judge greeted voters at the entrance and guided them to two lines, one for McLean County and Normal residents and the other for Bloomington residents. Tables set were equipped with hand sanitizer, disinfected wipes, and tissues. They also have extra face masks in case a voter forgets to bring one. Tim Mitchell, executive director of the Bloomington Election Commission, said the only issue they ran into was residents who requested vote-by-mail ballots showing up to cast an early ballot. In that case, voters were allowed to sign a provisional ballot, he said. Excuse me. At the end of the election, we review all of the provisional ballots we get in, and then we look and see if they have also mailed a ballot back, and then we won't count it, Mitchell said. Vote-by-mail ballots also started going out Thursday to a record 1.82 million applicants thus far, according to the Illinois State Board of Elections. Legislation adopted in the spring in response to the pandemic ensured widespread publicity for the practice. It's off the chart up this year, Matt Dietrich, spokesman for the Illinois State Board of Elections, said of early voting applications, which in 2018 numbered 500,000, of which 86% were returned. Other McLean County early voting polling locations are at Eastland Mall, Illinois State University Bone Student Center, and ISU Watterson Towers. As of Thursday at 6 p.m., there were 60,000 registered voters in McLean County, which includes Normal, and 12,688 vote-by-mail applications that were being submitted. In Bloomington, 51,948 registered voters and 13,434 vote-by-mail applications were submitted. Brett and Jennifer Reed said it didn't take them more than 10 minutes to get inside and cast ballots. My wife and I came out mainly just because with our work schedules and different things, it was easier to get it done while we could, Brett Reed said. I think it is important that everybody should vote, and so it was really good to be able to do that. Bridget Waters of Normal brought 4-year-old son Calvin. This was her first time voting in person, and she recently moved to the area from Montana. This was so convenient and so easy, and I'm just really glad this is offered, Waters said. She said she typically would vote through absentee ballots, but decided to show up to a polling place this year to set a good example for her son. I think it is a positive thing for him to see me taking part in the process, Givens said, and showing him the importance of voting. And there's a little inset into this story detailing information on early voting locations. At Grossinger Motors Arena at 101 South Madison Street in Bloomington, you can vote Friday from 8:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. From September 28th to October 16th from 8:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. From October 19th to 23rd, and October 26th to 30, and November 2nd, 8:30 a.m. to 7 p.m., and on October 24th and 25th, and 31, and November 1, 9 to 5. At Eastland Mall at 615 East Empire Street in Bloomington, you can vote from noon to 6 p.m., October 10th and 11th, 17, 18, 24, 25, and 26 to 30. And at the ISU Bone Student Center Founders Suite at 100 North University Street in Normal, you can vote from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., October 26th to 30th. And at the ISU Watterson Towers Rosa Parks Room at 301 South Fell Avenue in Normal, you can vote from noon to 7 p.m., October 26th to 30th. And now let's go to local and state news. This local story is headlined, Normal Theater to Open. film festival set for October 1st, Halloween classics to follow. The story is Dateline Normal. Spooky Halloween favorites will return to the big screen in October. We know the Normal Theater offers an important escape for many members of our community, Normal Civic Arts Manager Adam Fox said in a statement on Thursday. We are excited to welcome audiences back into the building. The theater, which closed in-person screenings on March 13th, is opening with reduced capacity October 1st, just in time for the annual Manhattan Short Film Festival. After the festival, the theater will begin showing Halloween classics including Beetlejuice, Labyrinth, The Rocky Horror Picture Show, and new independent horror films. The theater will operate at a reduced capacity of 50 people with assigned seating to maintain social distancing. Seats may be selected upon ticket purchase. Masks are required at all times, even when seated. Concessions will not be available for purchase, and outside food and beverages are prohibited. The Manhattan Short Film Festival is an annual competition featuring short films around the globe from Thursday through October 31st. Audience members will cast their vote for the best short film and actor at the end of the viewing. 9 finalists were selected from 971 entries from 54 countries. The Normal Theater will hold showings at 7 p.m. October 1 through 4 and at 3 p.m. October 3rd and 4th. Tickets can be purchased at the box office 30 minutes prior to the show or online at normaltheater.com. Tickets are $7 general admission, $5 for students. The theater is not accepting cash in an effort to reduce contact. The theater will continue offering online movie screenings. People can view online movie screening times at the theater's website. And this local page is graced by two very stunning photos of a small airplane being lifted by a crane. And the caption reads, "Plane lands at Aviation Museum." It reads, "John Eckley helps guide a 1961 Aero Commander 680 airplane over a security fence and into the airpark of the Prairie Aviation Museum at 2929 East Empire Street in Bloomington Wednesday. The airplane was privately owned until January when it was donated to the museum." Eckley said the museum has felt the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic, where attendance is down 90%. The museum is closed, but the air park has since reopened from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Saturdays and Sundays. And in other local stories, Unit 5 set for in-person classes, hybrid learning to start late October if COVID still stable. This story is Dateline Normal. Students could begin to return to McLean County Unit 5 classrooms at the start of the second quarter, the district announced Thursday morning. "If the metrics remain stable and/or improve, we will have students return to school in a hybrid format, Superintendent Kristen Weichel said in letters to staff and families. Students in pre-kindergarten Students in pre-kindergarten through second grade, as well as sixth and ninth graders, will resume in-person learning during the week of October 19 to 23. Some students in special education and other special service levels will also return that week. The remaining grades, 3rd, 4th, 5th, 7th, 8th, 10th, 11th, 12th, will come back the week of October 26 through 30. Families will have the option to keep their children in full remote learning or return to the hybrid model. Weichel said the students' return will be spread over 2 weeks so the administrators and staff can continue to adjust the process as necessary with fewer students in the buildings. Unit 5's announcement comes a day after Bloomington District 87 leaders said elementary students would have the opportunity to return to in-person learning after second quarter begins, both districts are seeking a phased-in hybrid approach. We will be looking to phase in this hybrid approach, and the reason being, you know, no plan is perfect, Weichel said. None of us has lived through, nor have we taught and worked in a pandemic, and so we have a plan that we feel looks really solid on paper. However, we also know, once that we get those little bodies in our buildings, we may have to make some tweaks and minor changes to our plan. Assuming the metrics related to local community health are stable on October 19th, Unit 5 will adopt a hybrid model with blended learning, similar to the plan announced by District 87. Students will attend in person 2 days a week. On Wednesdays, students will participate in synchronous and asynchronous learning at home with a teacher online, and the remaining 2 days will be asynchronous remote learning. I understand that a change to how instruction is delivered may be uncomfortable for some, but believe that the benefit to having students back in person is worth it, Weichel said to families. All health safety guidelines will be upheld when students return, including masks and distancing. A key difference between this plan and the first plan released in July is elementary students will follow the hybrid model, where before they were going to attend 5 days a week. Realistically, right now, to follow Illinois Department of Public Health and CDC guidelines and to really have social distancing in place, we just need to reduce the number of students in the buildings, Weichel said. And being a district as large as we are, we need to do that in a hybrid model. Students will be grouped by last name to determine which days they attend in person. Weichel said families will need to have a backup plan for their students to be prepared should a classroom or building need to stop in-person learning temporarily. This could happen due to a COVID outbreak or a requirement for your student to quarantine for 14 days due to being identified as a close contact, the plan states. The 7 metrics that will guide the district's decision-making process include the region's phase in the Restore Illinois plan, the number of new cases per 100,000, the county's 7-day rolling positivity rate, the weekly case number increase, the weekly increase of youth cases, the number of hospital admissions for COVID-like illnesses, and the percentage of ICU beds available in local hospitals. And in this state story, the headline reads, COVID cases in hospital up in Illinois. It is Dateline Springfield. Hospitalizations for COVID-19 have jumped sharply, according to the latest data from the Illinois Department of Public Health, while the number of continued unemployment claims in the state increased from the week prior. Hospitalizations and intensive care bed usage by persons with COVID-19 increased to highs not seen since June as of the end of the day Wednesday. And while the numbers often fluctuate significantly on a daily basis, the 1,713 hospitalizations for the virus were the most since there were 1,852 cases on June 18th. The 400 intensive care beds in use by COVID-19 patients were the most since 401 were occupied on June 29th. Approximately 35% of beds and 38% of ICU beds were available statewide, according to IDPH data. There were 155 ventilators in use by COVID-19 patients, with roughly 78% of the machines still available. And the recovery rate as of Thursday was at 96%. The state reported another 2,257 confirmed cases of the virus Thursday among 62,071 test results reported, making for a 1-day positivity rate of 3.6%, and that kept the rolling 7-day average rate at 3.5% for the 6th day in a row. Another 30 virus-related deaths drove the total to 8,538 among 281,371 confirmed cases since the pandemic began, Nearly 5.3 million tests have been conducted. Officials urged Illinoisans to get their flu shot this year to avoid further strains on medical infrastructure. This season, more than ever, it is critical that Illinoisans get our flu shots, IDPH Director Dr. Ngozi Ezike said in a statement. Flu and COVID-19 each can cause serious respiratory illness, and co-infection could possibly lead to more severe illnesses, hospitalization, and even death. While a vaccine for COVID-19 is still in development, a vaccine for flu already exists and is your best protection against flu. Meanwhile, the economic effects of COVID-19 and associated economic restrictions continue to show in Illinois and nationwide. And this local story is headlined, Bus Fares Suspended Until November 9th. Dateline Normal. Connect Transit extended its suspension of fare collections until November 9th for all fixed route and Connect mobility services. The public transportation service stopped all fare collection in March to eliminate contact between bus riders and operators to prevent the spread of COVID-19. In addition to continuing the fare suspension, Connect Transit is operating a reduced service schedule for proper cleaning of facilities and buses, which are cleaned and sanitized each day and night. Connect Transit recently joined the American Public Transportation Association's Health and Safety Commitments Program. The program is a pledge for public transportation systems to continue operating safely during the COVID-19 pandemic. And in public safety news, weapons charges are pending against a Bloomington man. Yuan C. Gardner, age 37, is charged with two counts of aggravated unlawful use of a weapon, unlawful possession of a weapon by a felon, and violation of the Illinois Firearm Owners Identification Card Act. According to a probable cause statement read in court Thursday, Gardner was pulled over by McLean County deputies for speeding on Interstate 55. During the traffic stop, officers found a loaded 9mm handgun, which according to court documents was uncased and immediately accessible in the vehicle. Prosecutors said Gardner does not have a valid FOID or concealed carry license. He was also charged separately with three misdemeanors, including two DUIs and one count of possession of cannabis by a driver. He was jailed in lieu of posting $7,535, and an arraignment was scheduled for September 29th. And a Bloomington man is being held on three battery charges in McLean County. Alan J. Smith, age 62, is charged with aggravated domestic battery involving strangulation, aggravated battery, and domestic battery, which is a felony for a subsequent offense. Prosecutors said Smith battered the victim over several hours, repeatedly strangled the victim with his hands, and held a knife to the victim's throat, causing a cut. Smith was held without bond Thursday, pending risk assessment evaluation. A bond review hearing was scheduled for September 30th, and his arraignment will be October 9th. And this has been Beatrice Pavia with part one of the Pantograph of Friday, September 25th, 2020. I look forward to reading part two with you soon.